Luke chapter 21 in your Bible. If you found us again, sorry, we had to reset the live stream. And so if you would go ahead and reshare that once again, that would help to for other people that may not know what happened. I guess they'll figure it out. And Luke chapter 21 in your Bible. If you're a part of Anchor Baptist Church, you know that we're doing the Sunday school series, Portraits of Grace. And we are on lesson number 8. Lesson number 8. And today's lesson is in reference to the widow who gave her last 2 mites. And so the theme of the lesson today is grace to give. Grace to give. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 21. And I'm going to read down through the first 4 verses, which is primarily where the story takes place in Luke's Gospel. We'll refer to some other verses of Scripture, of course, as we go through it. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word now. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would be the preacher, that we would recognize the areas of our life that you are challenging us with in this hour, in this Sunday school hour. As the young people are listening to their lessons, Lord, we pray as well that you would bless the teaching of your word in those for those age groups. And, Lord, we do pray that our equipment and technology, Lord, the internet would work properly, and that the message that you have is the most important thing that we're asking would go forward today, even if, Lord, we could simply hear it. We pray, Lord, that our lives would be changed. We thank you and praise you for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have individuals that you know that are deaf, we have been really working at trying to make an sign language, ASL sign language, available on our live stream. We just we have a deaf Facebook page, Anchor Baptist Church Deaf Ministry Facebook page. We also have, you can also go to the church website, anchoredinjesus.com, and we're trying to incorporate where they can log on and see me speaking, but then they would also be able to see Brother Charles Sutphin interpreting. And we're making no guarantees on any of that. We're just trying our best to make it available. And I think it's worth our effort, and we give God the glory for it. But this is not only, obviously, for people that are in the Vancouver area. That's why I'm mentioning this, that this could help someone that you know right now, you know, that is deaf, and they know ASL. This could be an encouragement to them to be able to be in church, if you will. And so just wanted to make mention of that, and I appreciate Brother Charles and Pastor Nathan working on that. So the widow and her mites, lesson number 8, the theme is grace to give. I think probably one of the other famous verses of the scriptures that we know in our New Testament in relation to this subject of giving, the end of the verse, it says, it is more blessed to receive than give, right? Isn't that what it says? No, that's not what it says. You might be thinking, I've been drinking too much coffee today, or I haven't had enough coffee, but I meant to say it that way. No, Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, at the end of the verse, it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many times have you heard somebody say that? Either to you, trying to teach you something. I remember hearing that. Again, as a child, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I would say that as children, most children love to receive. I mean, most adults love to receive as well. But I'm glad it's something that was taught to me at an early age. And maybe I didn't necessarily believe it at an early age because, you know, whenever it's time to see your name on gifts, you love to have your name written on it. To Ben, from Grandma, from Grandpa, from Aunt Pat, from whoever. And we love to receive gifts, but the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now think about this. the creator of our universe, and I encourage you to be here in the 4 o'clock hour. We're really going to emphasize our God today in this in the next hour. But the creator of our universe, God himself, has asked you and me to give to him. Now you think about that for just a minute. Doesn't God own everything already? By the way, the answer to that is yes, God owns everything. God has all it all in his hands, the song says, got the whole world in his hands. And so, but yet think of it, the creator God says and wants me and wants us, wants you today that are listening to give back to him. For you see, there's a principle when it comes to giving. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21, the Bible says this, for where your treasure is, there will your, not ear, I'm not pointing at my ear for you to say ear, no. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God knows this. God knows that what I give to, and it's, by the way, don't turn off the live stream because Pastor Turner is going to talk about money the whole hour. That's not the only part of giving. I hope you recognize that. It is part of it, and definitely in our Bible story today and Bible event here today, it was part of it. But really where this whole lesson lies is where the Bible says there in verse 21 that where your there will your heart be, where your treasure is. So God knows that where I'm giving, whether it's financial or my time or I guess those are primarily the areas that we give, right? Time, talent, treasure. But wherever I'm giving, God knows that it's coming from my heart. Now, that can be a good thing, and that can be not such a good thing, because the problem is not the amount I'm giving, but the heart that it's coming from. The Bible says talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it is. As a man purposeth, that's a tongue twister, so I try to say it 3 or 4 times fast. As a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So again, we see that giving goes back to the heart. Giving goes back to the heart. And so there is always that connection between the heart, and that's not the organ that's pumping the blood through your body right now, but it's the seat of your emotion, if you will. There's always a connection. Now, many times, when there is a problem in someone's spiritual life, it can come back to this question. Who is it that owns what I have been given? I want you to ask yourself today that question mentally. Who owns what I have been given? And you think about it. Some people say, you know, well, I have a deed to the house, or I've paid off the mortgage, and this is my home now. I own this home, and I own the land, and I own the clothes on my back, and on my back, that's my belly, on my back, and I own the car that I'm driving, and so forth and so on. And again, that is a question that will indicate a lot about the way we're thinking. And right now, really, that's a challenge primarily to someone who knows the Lord. But perhaps nowhere in the Bible do we see the connection between faith and finances than in this Bible story, in this Bible event. It's one that I'm sure you're familiar with, and I'm sure you've heard of it before. You see, when the people would come into the temple and they would give into the treasury, there was 2 reasons why they were giving. Number one, it was to fund the treasury. This isn't part of the outline. We'll get to that in just a moment. To fund part of the, or to fund the treasure, or to fund the temple and everything that went along with it. And secondly, it was to be a blessing to the needy. And that's exactly what was happening in this particular event as well. So let's jump into our outline. Those of you, again, that are from Anchor Baptist, you may have the Sunday school book there with you. And anyone that doesn't have it, you can take some notes and write these down. And we're going to look at 3 things, 3 main points from the outline. Number one, we see the contrast of the givers. The contrast of the givers. Contrast is looking at one and looking at another, making a comparison. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does in this. And what he's interested in, and we're going to develop this and look at this as we go further into it, what he's really interested in this is not what is given, but where it's coming from. Not the amount that is given, but the heart that it's being given from. So we see letter A, the first person or people that Jesus Christ looked at was the giving of the rich. The giving of the rich. And we see that in verse number 1. And he wasn't just looking at one rich man. The Bible says he was looking at the rich men, plural. And they were coming up and giving their offerings. Now, again, the emphasis in this text is not the amount, but he's looking at the motive. So it's not the amount of money that they're giving. It's the motive that's being portrayed in their giving. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16, verse number 9. If you have the notebook, it's probably there. If not, turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 in verse number 9. And now it's interesting that we're doing this lesson right now. We're not meeting together in public gatherings. And so the offering is not being, you know, passed around like we did for the first 18 and a half years of the church, and like we always have in all the churches I've ever been a part of. And so that's kind of what part of this story is to be seen of men. Part of this story is to make sure that, you know, people see, hey, I'm giving, and I'm someone of means, as these rich people were here in verse number 1. But far beyond the clang of the offering or the change of the offering going into the offering plate or the amount on the tithing envelope. And by the way, please continue to be faithful in your giving to the local church that you're a member of. Whoever's listening right now, tithes and offerings, we still need to have those in to honor the Lord and take care of what God wants us to take care of. But 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them, notice this next phrase, whose heart is perfect toward him. Whose heart is perfect toward him. God sees your heart today. God sees my heart today. And what does God deserve to see? He deserves to see a heart that is growing in grace. The word perfect there is used in the verse. It's a mature heart. It's a heart with the right motives. And, of course, Samuel was told by the Lord, hey, don't look at the stature of Jesse's sons, because that's not how God looks at them. He looks at the heart. And Jesus, when he was looking at these men in Luke chapter 21, he saw that there was something there that they had in their heart. It was a heart of pride, and they were giving for the wrong reasons. And in these particular men's case, more than likely, without a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't the amount given, it was what was left over. That was great. Oswald Chambers is quoted as saying, with Christ, it is not how much we give, but what we do not give that is the real test. I wonder on this Sunday afternoon, it's afternoon here where we are here in the Vancouver area, just after 3:15, 3:20 in the afternoon, I wonder, what is there in your life, wherever you are listening today, what is there in your life that you are not giving to the Lord? You know, God deserves everything that we have. God deserves my life. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. It isn't today to look at what I am giving him. It's to look at what am I withholding from him. You know, what is it that God is speaking to you about today that you need to give to him? Think about that as we go through this. Letter A, he saw the giving of the rich. Letter B, he saw the giving of the poor. He saw the giving of the poor. Now notice in verse number 2, the Bible says that there was a poor widow, and we've talked about this in previous lessons at Anchor Baptist and preaching, that widows definitely did not have the backing that they have today in our society. Now we know that the church took care of the widows, and we read about that in Acts, and that's another lesson, but they were looked down on in society. And so, again, taking that into consideration, more than likely, most of them had very little, and that's exactly the case here. But notice the word mites. The Bible says that she cast in thither two mites. These mites were a thin brass coin, and they would represent about one-fifth of a man's daily wage, about one-fifth of a man's daily wage. And notice the Bible says here, a certain poor widow casting in two mites, Jesus said in verse 3, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more. Now we would look at it and we would say, there's no way that this widow cast in more than the rich men. And if we're looking at it, dollars and cents, probably that's the case. But again, Jesus doesn't look at it the way that we do. It would have been what was left over, as in relation to who had given more. This woman's life was not about what she could get, but about what she could give. Now, remember the reasons why they gave in the temple: to take care of the needs of the temple and to take care of the needy. This widow would have been a needy, would have been in the needy crowd, if you will. So here's a needy widow giving to help the needy. Now think about that. That's kind of completely backwards to our way of thinking in 2020. Notice it, if you will, and hold to that. We're going to come to that in a greater way. Turn in your Bibles quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's second epistle to the church at Corinth, and in chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1. It says there, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, many of you are very familiar with this chapter in the Bible, and even in this particular chapter, this next verse. But notice some key words. How that in a great trial, circle that word trial in your Bible, trial of affliction. Maybe circle that word affliction as well. A trial of affliction. Okay, when you think of a trial of affliction, difficult times, struggling times. Notice, let's keep reading. The great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Circle that word. Right there in the midst of a great trial, they had joy. Think about that. And their deep poverty. Ooh, circle that word, poverty. So they've got a great trial of affliction, they've got joy, and they also are poverty stricken. But isn't it interesting that the Bible says that they abounded unto the riches of their liberality? What does that mean? All right, it basically means that even though they were in a great trial of affliction, they had joy, they had poverty, they still gave. That's exactly the testimony of this dear widow woman, giving of the poor. You know what? Sometimes we go through financial difficulties, and so we are going to hit right now about financial difficulties, okay? Sometimes we go through financial strains as an individual, as a family, as a church, okay? And maybe that's where we're at right now. Maybe you're there right now. There's a financial strain on you right now. Let me just challenge you with this. When we are under a financial strain or a financial difficulty, that is the worst time in your life and in my life when we come to this conclusion. Because I am under a financial strain, like this widow, wouldn't you say she was under a financial strain? Yes, she was a widow, and not only that, she was a poor widow. Hey, widows out there today, praise God for each and every one of you. I know many, and I love each and every one. And God loves you, and God takes care of you just like he takes care of me. But we're just talking about this biblical illustration. This was definitely someone who Jesus Christ emphasized that she was not only without a husband, but she was poor. And yet the Bible emphasizes she still gave. So what am I saying? This is not the time, if you are under or we are under financial strain, this is not the time to begin to rob God. In fact, that's the worst decision you or I could ever make, whether we are under financial strain or not. We must continue to give as unto the Lord and be obedient to his word. And we take our example from this text today in Luke 21 in this poor widow. If giving is important to you and to me, we will give through wealth and we will give through hardships, right? We will give when we have savings. We will give when we have none. Giving has nothing to do with how much we have. Now, we're talking about giving, okay, in general. In finances, when we come to the Bible, we believe the Bible teaches us that we as God's people should tithe by conviction. Tithe by conviction. Meaning if we have $100 in our paycheck, $10 belongs to the Lord. That's not giving. That's tithing. Giving comes over and above the first $10. And that's where we would give maybe to missions. And again, thank you, Anchor Baptist Church, for your giving to missions. Because the support has gone out for the second quarter. I emphasize that. We're praying for them. And maybe the building or maybe the vehicle fund or whatever. I'm just saying we give from our heart because we love the Lord. We'll talk about that in a moment. So the contrast of the givers. We have the rich and we have the poor. Number two, we have the comments of the Savior. The comments of the Savior. Letter A, regarding the widow's offering. The widow's offering. So the first offering that is pointed out is in verse number 3. Look down in verse number 3. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Why is that the case? I just mentioned it just a moment ago. This widow woman was giving out of a love for the Lord. This widow woman was giving out of a love for the Lord. She wanted to communicate her love to God. She only had two mites, one-fifth of the average man's daily salary. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot when you think about it, but love always finds a way to give. Regarding the widow's offering, think about it. Little is much. The songwriter in our hymn book, that's the Bible, but in our hymn book says little is much when God is in it. Folks, give what you have. And again, this isn't anything right now. Give of your finances. Give of your life. Give what you have to God and let God bless it. Let God take it and use it for His glory. The comments regarding the widow's offering. Number two, or letter B, the comments regarding the rich men's offering. The rich men's offering. Now, verse 4 tells us something about the rich men. I want you to circle the word abundance. Abundance. And maybe you would circle the word poor in verse 3 and draw an arrow to each one, where you've got an arrow pointing, you know, arrow on each end. Poor, abundance. Okay? Again, two contrasts here. Two comments here by the Savior. This giving by the rich men was not an inconvenience. And that assumption is not even an assumption, it's fact. Okay? They gave of their abundance. She gave, as we've already proven it, of her poverty. Now you and I, okay, we don't need to go to the dictionary today to realize there's a large difference between poverty and abundance. Poverty represents very little. Abundance represents very much. And that's exactly how these men gave. By the way, this is not a message. The Bible does not teach that having abundance is wrong. The Bible does not teach having finances as wrong. Yes, the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's so true. Oh my, is that ever true? But that is not what we're teaching. That's not what we're looking at today. No, you see, when we give of abundance, whether it's the men in Luke 21 or it's, okay, I'll just make it personal, or me today, there's no sacrifice involved. Okay? When we give from abundance, there's no sacrifice at all. Why? Because we have a lot left over. She had nothing left over. According to the Bible, she had nothing left over. At the end of verse 4, says she cast in all she had. Now, I'm not saying today, you know, go send an Interact transaction to the church and give everything you have in your bank account. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is connect the words, connect the thoughts here that Jesus Christ is trying to teach us today, that the one gave from sacrifice, the one gave from abundance. Again, he is not critical of the fact that the rich men gave. There's no criticism there, okay? So there's not a criticism today if you have money left over, and I'm not saying that at all. No, he saw something typical, though. He saw here that Pharisees always do good for the praise of men. Pharisees always do good for the praise of men. Look down at look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, quickly, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15. And that he died for all. Amen. Jesus Christ died for all. That's a good word there, the word all. Okay? Jesus did not just die for the elect. Jesus did not just die for some people. He died for all. Yes, God knows everyone that's going to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why? God is omniscient. But Jesus Christ died for all. We believe at Anchor Baptist Church that everyone can be saved. Not everyone will be saved. But everyone has a free will given to them by God to choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we know many will reject. Those who have rejected and have died, they are not going to go to heaven. They're not going to go to heaven. They're already paying for their sin now. And that's a very sad thing. And that he died for all, that they which live should not, look at that word not, should not henceforth live unto who? Themselves. You know, God did not send Jesus Christ to die for me so that I could be saved and go to heaven and then live my life on this earth for me. He did not save me from hell and offer me joy unspeakable and full of glory so that I could take everything that I have been given and just keep it for myself and be very stingy and be very selfish. No, God saved me to live for the Lord. I love the song, living for Jesus, striving to please him in all that I do. How about this? Striving to please him in all that I give. In all that I give. So, the same Jesus who saw and noticed the widow's sacrifice observes us today. The same Jesus who noticed the gift of the abundance of the rich man sees what we're giving out of today. And again, it's not a matter of if you're giving from a sacrifice or giving from an abundance. The point is this, your heart. The point is this, this afternoon, my heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth giveth. God sees my heart today. God sees your heart today. We have one more. Number three, we have the commendation of the sacrifice. The commendation of the sacrifice. Notice what Jesus also said about the widow's offering in verse 4. Unlike the rich men, this widow was not giving of her abundance. We made that point. She had made a sacrifice. Letter A, her giving was sacrificial. Her giving was sacrificial. Here's another word to point to that. The word penury. It's in verse number 4. Penury. She of her penury. This means, as again, I'm just reiterating what I said. I think I got ahead of myself a little bit here. She gave out of her poverty. Okay? The mites that she cast in were not just... This is not what it was that day, and I don't have any change on me right now. I don't really carry it, but I should have had some in my pocket. But it wasn't just, oh, let me just reach into my pocket and see what I have, and I'm going to put it in the offering. Have you ever done that? I hope you don't do that very often. I hope that's just what you do for your offering and not for your tithe. Again, the tithe is the Lord's, belongs to him anyway. This wasn't the attitude of the lady that day coming into the temple. Let me just open up my wallet. Let me just open up my wallet. She probably didn't have one. Let's see. Oh, I've got a 20, a 10, and a 5. I don't. I just have a bunch of cards in here. 20, a 10, and a 5. I'll give God the 5. You know, that's not what she did. I'm just trying to make a point, okay? You can smile. Aren't you glad you're sitting at home right now and you're not? I don't have to look right into your eyes. I have to look into a camera. Because whenever I talk about money at church, everybody bows their heads. I don't think it must be invitation time. Pastor Nathan just bowed his head. Thank you for doing that. Now I feel at home. Okay. And so, she gave of her livelihood, not her spare change. You know, I keep spare change in my car. Don't try to break into my car and get my spare change, okay? Actually, I don't think I have any in there right now. I have it in my desk drawer here at the office. Don't come here and look for it either. Look, that's how we are sometimes. Let's get off of money for a minute. I'm just going to give God the leftover time of my week. How about that? No, you know what? Let's determine right now, Anchor Baptist Church, let's determine right now, those of you listening right now from wherever you are right now, let's give God, not of our leftovers, let's give God a sacrificial gift this week of our time. Let's figure out a way this week that we can read our Bibles more this week than we did last week. How are we going to do that? You're going to have to plan. You're going to have to make a point to it. And I'm not saying speed read and then just shut your Bible. Reading your Bible more might mean getting into a Bible study or getting a concordance or going on blueletterbible.org and looking up a word and doing a word study on a particular word that you read. And let's spend more time in the Word of God. Some of us have more time than others, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying, look, give God. Don't just reach into your daytimer and say, oh, okay, I've got 5 minutes here for God. No, reach into your life and say, God, this life you gave me, you bought it. It's yours. I want to give you the premium time of my life this week. How can we do that? Make a plan. You know, the Bible tells us about those Corinthian Christians, Macedonian Christians, right? I was right the first time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we were there a moment ago, and you remember what it says about them? I think some of you do. It says that they first gave themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. It says they first gave their own selves Okay? This is really what life is all about for the Christian. Give yourself to the Lord. You know, this is the difference between a disciple and someone who's just saved. I believe there's two different people that are going to heaven. I believe there's a disciple that's going to heaven who is also saved. But I believe there is just the saved person going to heaven who never becomes a disciple. The difference for me is exactly what we're talking about today. When are we going to get to the place in our life as God's children that we're willing to give to the Lord what is rightfully His? When are we going to get to the place in our life as blood-bought son of God, daughter of God, children of God, where we recognize that I am simply to be a steward of what God has given me? That can be in your life. That can be in your finances. Hey, that can be in your local church. When are we going to get to the place in our life where we say, this is God's church, Anchor Baptist Church. It's God's church, but I have to be a steward. I must be a steward of what God has for me to do within this local church. How many of you from Anchor Baptist Church, all right, you're awake out there? How many of you from Anchor Baptist Church, and I'm not trying to be unkind when I say this, but how many of you, and maybe there's a whole bunch, I hope there is, how many of you have reached out to somebody else in the church since we've been meeting this way to see how they're doing? Now, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it as lovingly as I can. If you haven't reached out to anybody yet, then you're showing how much Anchor Baptist Church means to you. Because what is the church? People. The people, right? You say, but I need people to check on me. And that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong spirit. Now, maybe if you're from Anchor Baptist Church and you're listening, every one of you has checked on somebody. Praise the Lord. I don't need to know. I'm just saying, consider what this giving, not just receiving. You know what? I've heard so many different things, and I'm young. I've only been pastoring for almost 19 years. But I've heard enough to know in 19 years, and I listen to pastors every week that have been pastoring almost as long as I've been alive, if not longer. And they'd say things like this, so I'm just repeating them, right? How come so many people are only focused on what they can get? Oh, that's the wrong attitude, isn't it? That's the wrong attitude. No, we need to be focused on what we can give. Letter A, her giving was sacrificial. There was a chaplain who came to visit a soldier in the hospital one day. The chaplain commented to the soldier, "You have lost your arm for a great cause." I love the reply of the soldier. The soldier said, "I did not lose my arm, I gave my arm." Think about that. You know how we can, an analogy that in the Bible says that when we lose our life for the Lord, we've actually gained it. Again, too many Christians today are trying to get all they can all they get. You only have one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's time, right now, this day, April the 19th, 2020, that in this Sunday school hour, we as a church family get on our knees if we can. If not, just get on your knees in your heart and say, God, I need to be giving you more. God, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I need to be giving God more. Anything done for the Lord is not a loss. It is a gain. I love that statement, don't you? Sir, I did not lose anything. I gave it. You think about the fact that we have salvation. Jesus Christ, He didn't lose His life. He gave it. You're here, if you're listening at this moment, right now, you're listening, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know if you died today that you would go to heaven. The only way that you and I even have a chance to get to heaven is because someone gave. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life a ransom for all, that we might be saved. I'm on my way to heaven today, 46 years old. I'm ready for heaven. Whenever I die, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'll be there. Not because I'm a Baptist pastor, but because I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that happens because somebody gave. Jesus gave His life for you, and He gave His life for me. Her giving was sacrificial. Sacrificial. You know what? When it comes to our giving, I think many times we simply need to look at our priorities. We need to look at our priorities. that determines typically how we are giving, how we should, or maybe how we aren't giving. Okay, we're coming to the final approach. Her giving was sacrificial, but letter B, her giving was personal. It was personal. From this woman, we learn the heart of true worship. True worship. Can you go with me, please, to Romans chapter 14? Romans chapter 14. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for being involved in this live stream Sunday School Hour. This giving was personal. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12. It says, so then, every one of us, I've circled those words, one of us, shall give account of himself to God. You know what? Our giving is between us and the Lord. That's the beauty of it, isn't it? Between us and the Lord. I'm not to be looking around, well, I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it right now. Looking around the church house to see who's putting money in the offering, or looking around the church house to see who's doing anything for the Lord. No, it is between me and the Lord. Be involved in giving. Be involved in giving. It is personal. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. His heart. We purpose in our heart. We give not grudgingly or of necessity, but we give willingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Her giving was personal. Are you involved in giving? And then lastly, let her see, her giving was pleasing to Christ. It was pleasing to Christ. Jesus Christ knew that this widow gave the best she could, and he was pleased. And by the way, he is pleased with us as well. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4. We'll turn over there. Please turn over there with me. We're going to conclude with this text. I want to point out just two verses here, and we're going to wrap this theme up of giving. Giving. Widow and her two mites. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, please. Verse 15. The Bible says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But ye only. For even in Thessalonica, notice this, ye sent once and again. So not just one time, but at least two times. Once and again. Paul remembered their love offering. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that their offering was like a sweet smell to God. You know what? Giving is a personal, but it's a pure way to show our love to God. Plain and simple. Love always finds a way to give. What's your love level today to the Lord? I'm not talking about how much money have you given to the Lord, but what have you given to the Lord? Have you reached into your pocket? Last week, did you reach into your pocket and pull out 10 minutes and say, this is all I have, Lord, for you, 10 minutes. I hope no one did that. No, I tell you what, we need to give the first time of our day, if possible, the first time of our day to the Lord. Just like we give the first tenth of our income to the Lord. We give God the first time of our day. Or whatever time of our day where we're the sharpest. That's when I'm the sharpest mentally, is in the morning typically, giving it to the Lord. No one doubts that this widow's offering pleased God. Her motives were clear. She wanted to show her appreciation to God of how much she loved him. So today, we take a page from the widow's life, a poor widow who gave of her penury, but it got Jesus Christ's attention. Look, I want to prove my love to the Lord. And one major way that we do that, that you do that, that I do that, is in our giving. Now, we get saved by grace, but we're going to have to, we also give by grace. Okay? We don't just give out of our own power. We need God's grace also poured out on us to be the right kind of giver.